Y'all forgive me if I appear not to be walking real straight and stable. I'm okay. It just sometimes I have little spells of vertigo, and it's just something I've learned to deal with. But sometimes people ask me, you been out back, you know, drinking something? You know, it makes you unstable. I rejoice, and I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed this meeting so far. I wasn't able to be here last night, but I heard that the Lord was with you. And I said earlier that this West Texas Fellowship means a lot to me. I have a sincere desire that our churches throughout West Texas can come together more and be able to fellowship with each other. And it's a beautiful thing, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that we've been afforded to come together. I was excited when I got here and I saw all of the preach brethren were here, and I said, well, I'm going to get to hear him. I said I hadn't heard Brother Jeremiah yet, and looking forward to hearing him, and now they've put me up here. And I hear myself talk all the time, and I don't know if this is my place or not. I just feel like I do love the Lord. I do love the Lord's people. And I want Christ to be proclaimed. I want Christ to be proclaimed. His name was Jesus. We sing a song, Jesus, his name it shall be called. The holy angel said, for he shall save his people all by suffering in his stead. The Apostle Paul, talking to the Philippian brothers, they were talking about Christ being preached and of contention, and some people are preaching Christ this way. The Apostle Paul, doesn't matter to me. If Christ is being preached, it's all right with me. That's in the first chapter of Philippians. You'll find out that I can talk about a lot of scripture, and I can't quote very many of them. I've spent all my life around the Primitive Baptist, and I've read the Bible a lot, but I can't really say that I've read it through cover to cover. I don't know that I have. I know I've read a lot of scripture, and I'm ashamed of the time I've wasted in my life. I'm ashamed of the disrespect I showed my father, not listening to him, not attending to the things that he tried to teach me. I was pretty smart. You know, have you ever been that way? I was pretty smart, and I can remember him trying to have a little Bible study sitting at the kitchen table. And I just couldn't wait to get away, to get out of there. And he knew it. He could sense it. And one day he quit. He quit laboring that way. And I know he did that because he didn't see any fruit coming from me, from my spirit. And I'm so ashamed of that. I think it's in James. First chapter of James, the 27th verse. The writer states, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To keep himself unspotted from the world. I wished I'd seen that 50 years ago. I wish that verse had jumped out at me like it has in the last 8 or 10 years. You know, if you got a nice suit of clothes and you're walking down the street and it's been raining, and you don't want to get any dirt and mud on it, best thing to do is not walk up to the curb where the cars go by and splash the mud up on you, because you're going to get spotted. That mud is going to spot you. You're going to get dirty. You're going to get filthy. To keep himself unspotted from the world. You know how you keep yourself unspotted from the world? You don't go into the world. And I mean, we live in the world, but you don't go into the world that's out there. You don't sit down with them. Look at the Psalms. First Psalm. I can remember people. I'm sorry, I'll mention my father every now and then. My shame for not listening to him. But I remember, a lot of you remember him. I go some places and they don't know what I'm talking about. So I decided, if my dad loved us, they called him the psalmist, preacher. So if my dad loved the psalms so much, I need to read the psalms. And I started with the first psalm, you know, that's a good place to start. And what does it say here? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here David's telling me right here what James was saying, keep yourself unspotted from the world. David's telling you how to do it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want to stay unspotted from the world? Don't walk with the counsel of the ungodly. And you know who they are. You see them every day. Every week you go out there and you're around them. You're among them. You can recognize them. If you're around them a lot, you'll get used to them. The psalmist goes on to say, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He's first told us, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't do that. Don't walk around where they are. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. If you're going to stand, you've been walking and you're going to stand, what do you have to do? You have to stop. Now you're standing in the way of what? Sinners. Now we're all sinners. Don't get me wrong. But we're sinners saved by grace, and we're sinners that are trying to do the best of our ability to serve our Lord as much in the spirit of truth. But there's sinners out there that are vile sinners. They love it, and if they can get it on you, if they can spot it on you, if they can splash it up on you, they're going to do it. So he says, don't stand in the way of sinners. Start with, don't walk in the counsel of these guys. Don't walk there. And don't stop, don't stand in the way of these sinners. Then what does he say? Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit down. Don't walk with them, don't stand with them, and then don't sit down with them. Because you're going to get spotted. It's going to splash up on you. And I'm living proof, dear brothers and sisters, that that can happen. That can happen to you. When I was 17, I was really smart, full of vim and vigor. Had the world by the tail. I had a bass guitar and I played country music with this little band from Midland, Texas. And our manager was Tommy Alsop, who was the lead guitar player for Buddy Holly, right here in this town, Lubbock, Texas. Y'all know who Buddy Holly was. Of course, Buddy had since died, and he was managing this little country group I was with. Tommy Alsop got hired by this big conglomerate in Nashville, Tennessee, to come out and head their music division up. So the first people he signed to a record deal was this little band I was playing with. I was 17, hadn't even graduated high school. And they said, Gary, you want to go to Nashville? I sure do. I'm pretty good. I've been playing this bass guitar for a long time. Let's go. Let's go see what happens. We went out there to Nashville, and I'll make this as short as I can because I sure do want to hear Brother Elder James preach to us this afternoon. I always enjoy when I'm around him and with him. And you got, 13 kids now or 12? I just love that family, every one of them. I keep saying, my brother Troy had 7, and I said, Troy, what are you doing? You know, but I can't think of any of the 7 that I'd like to send back, you know. What a blessing they've been. But anyway, we went to Nashville, and the kids, it was a little kid act, 14 years old and 9 years old. They could sing country music and wail it out, and I played bass behind them. And we were on the Grand Ole Opry stage. We met Dolly Parton. We just did all kinds of stuff. And I was really full of myself. Well, the kids, they recorded their record. It didn't do so good.
and they come back to Texas. But I decided I was going to stay in Nashville, Tennessee. I done got a taste of that glory, that the applause of the crowd. So I was still a Primitive Baptist. I went to Bethel Primitive Baptist Church, and I would, there were guys in there that could play music, and they said, let's get a band together. I said, all right. I said, I'll play music with you, but I'm not going to play in a bar. I'm Primitive Baptist. We're Primitive Baptist. We're not going to play in a bar. I'm just not going to do that. Okay. Well, all right. So we got a little band together, and there's no place to play. We might go to an old folks home or a retirement center or play for the elementary kids, but they said, "Oh, Gary, come on. If we're going to get known, we got to go play in the bars." And so I succumbed. I said, okay. I decided that I was going out there and walk in the council of the ungodly like the psalmist told us not to do. So here we go, and I start walking in the council of the ungodly, and we start playing in these bars, and I kept saying, I'll play in this bar, but I'm not going to drink a beer. I'm not going to drink any alcohol. I'm not going to do it. So this worked for a while, and we went out there and played and everything, but it wasn't long that I stopped and I stood and I looked around. You know, these people are really having a good time, you know. What's one beer going to hurt if I drink a beer? What's it going to hurt me? So I stood there and looked around, and the next thing I knew, what did I do? What did it say? Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. I sat right down, right in the middle of them, and I said, set me up. And I started drinking beer, you know, and doing things like that. And I never was an alcoholic, but it affected me. It's not good, little children. You don't mix and mingle with the world. You have to work with them. You have to be around them. They work in the gas stations and all of the things, but you don't mix and mingle with the world. When you know that they're not doing what the Lord would have them to do or would have you to do, stay away from it. It wasn't long that I didn't need to go the Primitive Baptist Church anymore, because I was pretty smart, because I was saved by grace, you know, and I'm all right, you know. How many times have you heard people say that, you know? Well, if you're saved by grace, you know, what difference does it make? And I spent 43 years sitting in the seat of the scornful, getting on those stages. People ask me, so you knew Dolly Parton? Yes, I did. You ever been on the Grand Opera? Yes, I have. Do you know Ronnie Millsap? Yes, I did. But it does not compare to knowing the Lord's people. These people sitting right here in these pews, these are the people that I want to be around, that I want to walk with, that I want to sit with. I want to sit in the council of the godly, not the ungodly. And if I could go back and live my life again, I would have paid a whole lot more attention to these things. I would have not thought so highly of myself. And here I am. I'm 67 years old, got vertigo, can't stand up or walk sometimes. And Brother Don Richards here thinks I should stand up and try to speak to the Lord's people. I think he's lost his mind. If you knew my history, if you knew where I've been, if you know what I have done, you wouldn't go there. Let's read one more. Let's go back to Psalms. The 31st Psalm. David is giving us instructions again. And I'm finding out now why my father loved to read the Psalms and Proverbs. He got a lot of blessing from it. And there's a lot of instruction here. And I hope to, until the Lord takes me home, and I hope it's soon. I hope the Lord comes back soon. I know we want to mix and mingle here, but this place, this is not our home. Heaven is our home that's been prepared and paid for, bought with a price by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who didn't have to do anything for us, and surely not anything for me. It makes no sense to me that I might be included in that number. And the Apostle Paul said he was the chief of sinners. No, sir. I outrank him. He didn't do what I did in Nashville, Tennessee. He needs to reconsider that. The 21st verse of the 31st Psalm. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. What's David talking about? He's felt kindness from the Lord. He was in a strong city, but the Lord has shown him kindness. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. We all know David's story. We all know that he committed a lot of sin, and he's telling us, blessed be the Lord, because he showed me marvelous kindness. I cried out to him. He heard my supplications. The Lord forgave him and comforted him. And I pray today that whenever you're down in the deepest of despair, things are going wrong in your life. Tragedy has come. The brother said this morning, we all know, we all have some kind of tragedy in our life. We all can share something, some kind of despair. If you call out to the Lord, he'll hear the voice of your supplications. He is able to comfort you. He's able to give you peace. And there's no greater peace going to be than when he calls your name out, when the heavens open up and you see him coming as he went, and the graves pop open around you. Isn't that going to be a wonderful sight? I mean, is it going to make a noise? You know, is it going to go pop, pop, pop? I don't know. I'm glad it's going to happen. I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to see that happen, and I hope I'm part of it. And then we all, those that remain, we all would come up to meet him in the sky and forever go and be with him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother James, come ahead. I hope I hadn't scrambled up your mind. Thank y'all for this opportunity.